Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue on looking in the life of David. We're in 2 Samuel, the first chapter. And David has just found out, as we saw in the previous episode, we went up to verse 16, I think, that Saul and Jonathan had been killed, as well as many, many Israelite soldiers, men. And David had actually executed the guy who killed Saul, though the guy didn't kill Saul. The guy, the messenger that had come, the Amalekite, had told David, the king had asked me to kill him because he was so grievously wounded that he didn't want anybody else to do it, so I did it. That's not at all what happened, but that lie cost him his life. So we're going to pick it up in verse 17, and we're going to look at David's response. And the balance of this chapter is David's response. Listen to what he does. Then David chanted with this lament over Saul and Jonathan, his son. David chanted. David spoke forth, composed a lament. Now, I think he probably spoke it spontaneously. Okay, he just cried out in his heart. But then I know we'll see in the balance of the verse. Balance of the sentence. We stopped there. He wrote it down for them. He chanted a lament. What David would do is he would bring his heart cry to the Most High God quite often in song. Okay, in this case, it was lament. Again, David chanted with this lament over Saul and Jonathan, his son. So it was about Saul and it was about Jonathan. So we know what Saul has been doing with David. We know he's been trying to kill him, trying to pursue him. We know that David has not taken the opportunities that he's had to rid himself of Saul. So what would David's attitude be towards Saul? Well, we're about to find out. Verse 18, and he, that's David, told them, and that them is not in English, but he tells the powers to be to do this, told them to teach the sons of Judah the song of the bow. Okay, the song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. Jasher? Yes, J-A-S-H-A-R, or Jasher, however you want to say it. I'm more inclined to go Jasher, but I really don't know. It's another book. And in the scripture, we see many, many, many other books mentioned, okay? And quite often, these books, they're not canonical from the point of view of being scripture themselves. They're not lost scripture, but they are. There's one author, I really like how he expresses it. As a matter of fact, he wrote a whole book around this. They are biblically endorsed. In other words, the Bible mentions them. And like I said, there's several of them, and Jasher is one of them. And so the writer here is telling us that, hey, this lament that David wrote, it's written in the book of Jasher. So here's the lament. Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing. It's several verses long. All of this is what David said. This is the song that David wrote over Saul and Jonathan. Your beauty, O Israel, is slain on your high places. How have the mighty fallen? He says that three times. He says it at the beginning. He says it at the end. He says it in the middle. How have the mighty fallen? He's not asking that as a question, how. It's a declarative statement that the mighty have fallen. Verse 20, tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Well, why Gath and Ashkelon? That's Philistine land, folks. Or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. He doesn't want the Philistines to find out about it because David just doesn't want them rejoicing over the death of Saul and of Jonathan, though he knows they know, and he knows they will. Verse 21, O mountains of Gilboa, let not dew or rain be on you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil. So remember, it was on the mount of Gilboa where Saul was when he died. So he's saying, let there be no more dew on you, no more rain, because it's been what? Defiled, because this is where Saul has fallen. That little phrase, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil, I wonder what that means. we know that the presence of the Lord had left Saul. I'm not too sure that's not a reference to that. Anyway, verse 22, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Saul did not return empty. They did put up a fight, in other words. They put up a fight. But verse 23, Saul and Jonathan, beloved and pleasant in their life, and in their death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. So we already get more than a hint of what David's attitude is right here. He's describing Saul and Jonathan as beloved, as pleasant in their life. Had Saul done only pleasant things to David? But of course not. No. But David would not touch God's anointed, even to speak forth things which were truthful, but would be detrimental to him. And is this not something that we could so learn from right here, folks, okay? Verse 24, last four verses here. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. And so that's given us, again, a little more than a hint right here, that the reign of Saul, the time of Saul, was a time of prosperity. Okay, clothed luxuriously in scarlet, put gold ornaments on your apparel, that he ruled over you well, and there was prosperity over well. Did Saul finish well? No. Did the Spirit leave him? Yes. Does that mean that Saul will not spend eternity before the Most High God? I don't know. I can argue all sorts of ways on this. It's God's decision, right? Did Saul believe? There was a point in time when he did believe. And we see the belief. Did he act poorly? Yes. Did he make poor decisions? Yes. Did he do crazy, stupid things? Yes. But did he believe? And particularly under the old covenant of believing unto salvation in that way, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, he says, verse 25, how have the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Jonathan is slain on your high places. So remember who he's talking to. He started talking to who? Your beauty, O Israel, is slain. And so he's talking about Israel here as a geographic location, as the land of the Lord, the mountains of Gilboa. But he's also talking about Israel, the people. But now, what does he say? They have died on your high places. Verse 26, I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. And that word pleasant means beautiful, to be sweet, to be delightful, to be lovely. Very pleasant to me. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of women. Do I even have to suggest how that is perverted nowadays? How that phrase and how that declaration is perverted? Yeah, you got it. We actually saw hints of that when Jonathan first made covenant with David when he gave him his clothing and things like that. David is just simply speaking of the wonder and the glory of their relationship. He's not talking about a homosexual relationship here, so don't let anybody lead you down that road. Then David closes with this verse 27. How have the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? He actually describes them as weapons of war, and weapons of war in a multitude of ways. David had experienced the negative way of Saul being a weapon of war against him. But he knew that Saul was the anointed of God. He knew what Jonathan had done in making covenant with him. And David will remember. We'll see it later. He's going to remember the promises that he made to Jonathan and that he made to Saul. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.